This is the first episode of what we are calling season number 4. It marks several significant improvements and changes. First is the podcast title clarification. We are now renaming the podcast Open Forum in the Villages, Florida, to make clear that this is a regional show. The show is not sponsored by the Villages. Second is a dramatic increase in the use of AI for the show. These include transcripts of each show. Please understand that there will be errors inserted by the AI that may not be caught before the transcript is published. However, this is a dramatic step forward. We will now include chapter markers for each show. The show's title will be one of the 5 titles generated by the AI. The show description will be AI generated. In fact, the show's announcers are now all AI voices, including me. Hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Open Forum in the Villages, Florida podcast. In this show, we are going to talk to leaders in the community, leaders of clubs, and interesting folks who live here in the Villages to give perspectives of what is happening here in the Villages. We hope to add a new episode most Fridays at 9 a.m. We have converted all of our shows to Buzzsprout. Of course, you can still listen to Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, and about 20 other podcast platforms. Your favorite podcast player will still work. We are now a listener-supported podcast. You can become a supporter for only $3, or you can choose to pay more per month. Go to openforuminthevillages.com and click on Support in the black box. There will be a shout-out for supporters in episodes. This is a shout-out to supporters Tweet Coleman, Dan Capellan, Ed Williams, Alvin Stenzel, and Major Supporter Dr. Craig Curtis at K2 in the Villages. We will be hearing more from Dr. Curtis with short Alzheimer's tips each week.
This is Mike Roth and Bob Martin. Thanks for joining me today, Bob.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Good. Bob, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself and what you've done before you came here to the Villages?
Well, I worked in broadcast television for better part of 30 years, but as a health enthusiast, I also was involved in martial arts for 50 years.
Okay, martial arts. That means you started martial arts when you're about 10 years old?
Now, my first formal training was when I was in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. That was in about 1970.
Okay.
Then I got out and I started looking for other forms of martial arts. That was taekwondo that I started in, like a lot of people. And I found Goju Karate, which has roots in China and Okinawa. Mm-hmm. So that kind of fit the bill for me at that moment.
Karate is something that I think everyone's heard of.
Yeah.
And here in the Villages, you're an instructor for Tai Chi?
Well, I teach Tai Chi, mm-hmm. which is also a martial art, and I also teach self-defense, which is based on Tai Chi principles as well as karate principles and jujitsu. Mm-hmm. And it's designed for the street, and I teach it for senior citizens who are not going to be jumping 20 feet in the air and doing
no,
all those
not
things.
Not many of us can jump 20 feet in the air. In improv, I have trouble asking people to talk and speak at the same time.
Hello.
So jumping in the air is not what you teach. Now, do you teach these classes as recreation center club activities, or do you teach them through the Enrichment Academy?
I teach it at the recreation centers. I do take donations because I have to buy equipment for some of the classes, because mm-hmm. we try to base our training on where we live. So quite often I'll have the rec centers bring out coffee tables and chairs. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to stand up and have all these things going around, but this is what we do here in 2023 and been doing it for years. We go places, we sit down. Sometimes I do car safety seminars. What do you do when someone approaches you in your car? I haven't done golf carts yet. That's in the future.
Well, that's very common here in the Villages. I understand there's in excess of 60,000 golf carts in the Villages and growing.
Yeah. So again, you know, coffee tables and chairs. I gave a guy a cane lesson yesterday, a lot of canes. So we're going to just do it. Even if you don't need a cane, we're going to have lessons on using a cane and any type of stick, mm-hmm. you know, as well as knives and things like that.
Okay, good. Before we go any further, Bob, I always like to add a joke into the show for my grandson, Evan, and I'm going to ask you a question. Bob, what do you think a cat's favorite dessert is?
Cat's favorite dessert is probably a meow.
No, it's a bowl full of mice cream. Bob, so how many years have you lived here in the Villages?
About 2.5.
2.5 years?
Over 2.5.
And where were you before that?
We were up in Long Valley, New Jersey. It's the northern part of New Jersey, about 26 miles from the Poconos.
Oh, really North Jersey?
Oh, yeah. We were up on a hill, so if we would get snow a half mile down the hill, they might get 3 inches. Mm. We would get at least a foot.
Mm, yeah. When I lived in Cincinnati, we lived at the top of a hill. And first year we're there, the first time it snowed, my California Mercedes rear-wheel drive would not get up the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I called my wife, and who had a front-wheel drive Mazda, and I said, "Hey, Kay, why don't you come down to Star Bank parking lot and pick me up? Because I can't drive my car up a hill."
I've seen it happen. As a matter of fact, once I moved down here, I don't post a lot on Facebook, but people who understand martial arts, you hear the term Ru, R-Y-U, and Fu. So I posted a thing. Now that I'm down here, I no longer have to practice two of my arts, which is plow Ru. And shovel Fu.
And shovel Fu. Oh, yeah. Did you have a plow that you used in New Jersey?
Well, I had a snow blower.
Yeah.
But for the initial impact, I always had a guy come through the driveway and all that. And then you have the municipal trucks come by and block your driveway again.
Yeah. That was exactly the same thing in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Mm.
I had a snowblower, and if it was a light snow, the snowblower did a pretty good job. But if it was a heavy, slushy snow, I could be out there for hours. It was terrible. Snow and weather, probably the two biggest reasons why I wound up in the Villages.
And the other thing are taxes.
Oh.
Property taxes. That was an immediate savings in the thousands of dollars moving down here.
Really? What kind of change was it for you?
About a $13,000 savings.
$13,000 a year that you save by moving down to the Villages and property taxes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that could pay for a lot of meals at the country clubs. Bob, in the Villages, what are your favorite activities?
Well, obviously martial arts.
Martial arts. How many times a week do you teach your martial arts classes?
I teach officially 2 days a week. Mm-hmm. But I have private students who come by, and I also help teach and really take what they call a natural health class. That's given by a woman named Lily Brown, but her real name is Lijun Yao. And so I also take a yoga class, which in the newspaper is called Yoga with a Tai Chi Warm Up. So for a while, about a year, I used to teach the Tai Chi part of it, which is a half hour. But I always wanted to take yoga. And the good thing about the yoga is that, number one, it's not easy for me. And I just get a chance to laugh at myself. So I say, who wakes up and decides, well, let me twist my body this way and see what happens? Who does that? But I have fun. And it's a class taught by Sandy Lang.
Okay.
Here in the Villages.
And where do you teach your classes?
I teach my classes at Rohan. Tai Chi, I teach on Tuesdays at 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then the self-defense, self-protection, I teach on Thursdays at 1:30.
Okay, let's talk about the Tai Chi first.
Mm-hmm.
Not being terribly familiar with Tai Chi, I think of it as the Chinese exercise where you assume various positions and move every few seconds. Is that about it?
Oh, no. Much more.
Okay. Give our listeners a little bit more of an education on Tai Chi.
Well, Tai Chi is a philosophy, number one.
Philosophy. Hmm.
So you got the philosophical approach, and then you have the, you call it like the practical or physical approach, and mm-hmm. then you have the art. You have the philosophical, the science, and then the art. Tai Chi is a martial art, but part of studying Tai Chi is what's called Qigong. A lot of people don't teach Qigong, but Qigong deals with energizing and stimulating your natural energy and cultivating it. Gong, the symbol of Gong looks like a plow.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're doing is cultivating your internal energy as well as externally.
How do you do that?
Through breath work.
Give us an example.
So you can't see your breath, but you know it's there.
Right.
See?
Right.
So and through body contraction and release. Yeah. And also the meridians that run through the tips of the fingers and down in the toes and feet and along the inside and outside of your limbs.
Mm-hmm.
So those are pathways to the organs. So when you hear people talk about a Qigong exercise, what they're doing is targeting the head, the body, main part of the body, and then the basement. going down. Mm-hmm. So we like to call it the attic, the main floor, and the basement.
Mm-hmm.
So you're stimulating through certain types of exercises. There's a lot of Qigong exercises, but it helps stimulate you internally. Tai Chi is an internal art, whereas Karate, Jiu-Jitsu, they're all what you call external or hard arts.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually the two come together.
This is Mike Roth with Dr. Craig Curtis with today's Alzheimer's tip. Dr. Curtis, there's been a lot of information floating around the villages about research on Alzheimer's disease. Will participating in one of these studies cost a person anything?
No, sir. The way the clinical trial system is set up in the United States, patients come in and volunteer for a clinical research trial, let's say for Alzheimer's disease, and they're actually compensated for their time and trouble. It's usually a very small amount, but they're compensated, and insurance is not involved, and there are no charges to the patient.
With over 20 years of experience studying brain health, Dr. Curtis's goal is to educate the village's community on how to live a longer, healthier life. To learn more, visit his website, CraigCurtisMD.com, or call 352-500-5252 to attend a free seminar.
So what would be the first exercise that you would teach people in a Tai Chi class?
Well, in my classes, we do what I call lymphatic breathing. And what that does, it's a certain type of breathing and shifting and expansion and tightening of the body that boosts your immune system, your lymphatic system.
Oh, that's good. So how would you do that?
Well, it's kind of hard to
explain it.
Okay. So I'd have you stand shoulder width.
Mm-hmm.
And the body part, I'd have you shift back behind your arch. As you do that, you tilt your pelvis slightly forward and bend your knees and grip the ground with your toes. So we call that being as great as yin. Then I'd have you come up a little bit, shift forward, and now raise the heels if you can. But as long as you're in front of the arch, that would be good enough. So that's that piece. Now your arms are going to be at your sides. You're going to act like each arm is in a tube that you can rotate. So as you shift back, you're going to rotate your palms and turn them more towards your body, and as you sink down, mm-hmm. right? And then as you start to shift forward, you're going to rotate them away from your body and look up where the ceiling and the floor meets. And as you do that, so you're going to touch your shoulder blades together, right? So that opens up the front, closes the back. And mm-hmm. as you shift back down,
mm-hmm.
you rotate your palms towards your body and turn them out to the walls. As you squeeze, that shifting down, you're squeezing your body from the shoulders on down.
Mm-hmm.
And in general, if you're moving forward or up, you inhale through the nose. Moving downward or back, you exhale through the mouth. You put the tip of your tongue behind the front two teeth on the gum line.
Mm-hmm.
So when you exhale, you part your lips slightly and squeeze your body. And then you start to inhale. You shift forward, inhaling through the nose. You fill up, and then you squeeze the body and rotate the arms as you're going down. That's called lymphatic breathing.
Lymphatic breathing.
Right. Because your lymph system has a bunch of filters.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have things like the heart just pumps
fluid right
where it's supposed to. The lymphatic system, your daily motion, your daily movement makes them function.
Mm-hmm.
So what you want to do, particularly in this time of post-COVID and things like that, you want to put those filters into overdrive.
Mm.
So through exercise, breathing, and contraction and releasing of the body and the muscles, you're able to pump those fluids through much more effect. I always say there's no guarantee, but stack the deck in your favor.
Okay, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So you teach the class in Tai Chi at Rohan, which day of the week?
Tuesdays at 10:30.
Mm-hmm. And how many people typically show up for that class?
Oddly enough, I don't even advertise it as a Tai Chi class, but through word of mouth, because it's advertised as Unified Force Martial Arts.
Mm-hmm.
But through word of mouth, I have people who've been doing Tai Chi for years. Some of them say they never even knew it was a martial art.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about the feel good. After each class, I gather people in a circle. I want to know, what's your takeaway?
Mm-hmm.
I have people who've improved their golf game.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It's not just, you know, oh, I'm going to take this and I'm going to protect myself. No, you use the different elements in it to deal with everyday life. Because, you know, when people talk about self-defense, your real self-defense has to do with the air you breathe. This is 24/7, the food
mm-hmm.
you eat.
Mm-hmm.
What stresses you out? How do you handle stress?
Mm-hmm.
All those things can lower your immune system, make
sure.
you prone. So when we talk about Tai Chi or martial arts, it includes a major health factor. Anybody can go out there and smack somebody upside the head. But then there's the healing part. So the healing is a higher form of martial arts.
Okay. And there's no problem if 50 people show up in your class?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. And we laugh in our class.
Laugh. Well, that's good.
We laugh a lot in our class and make fun of each other in a nice way.
Okay. So how long have people stayed with your class?
Well, I have people who were there from day one.
Really? And how many years is that? 2 years?
2.5 years.
Yeah, great.
The way I started teaching down here, it had more to do with self-defense.
Let's talk more about the self-defense now.
Yeah. As a senior citizen, well, let me put it this way. I went to a class. There's a good class down here called Karate for Life, right?
I've heard of that class.
Mm-hmm. And the first time I came down here before about maybe 6 or 7 years before we actually bought, guy in charge named Lee Aiello, he asked me if I would teach part of his class. So the way the story goes, after I finished teaching, somebody came up to me and asked me where I was from. I said, I'm from New York. My wife's from Philly. She'll be here to pick me up. It's a young lady. And I'm inside after the class talking to people. I come outside and I see my wife, Norma, crying with this woman. I'm trying to figure out what happened.
Mm.
So the way the story goes, the woman came out to me and said, oh, your husband tells me you're from Philly. I'm from Philly, too. What'd you do in Philly? Oh, I taught. Norma says, my sister taught, too. Woman says, what was your sister's name? But before Norma could answer, the woman said, Vivian Robinson or Vivian Cheney, something like that. And the woman told Norma, and you look so much like your mother. So Norma said, she's looking at her, how do you know that?
Yeah.
This woman was Vivian's friend, not only coworker, but Vivian's friend. And she was at Vivian's funeral. Vivian had died 10 years earlier.
Oh.
So those were kind of like quasi-happy tears, memories. So I knew I wanted to move down here because they had a lot of martial arts. And obviously the weather. Norma looked up and said, God, are you messing with me? So I took that class. And I would come down every year. And they would send out a little memo letting people know I would come down. Yeah, a lot of people had previous training. But then I went to another class. And long story short, in my opinion, the guy didn't know what he was doing. So after about 4 classes, I left. And some people in his class called me up and asked me what I teach them if they booked a room for me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay. So about a month, every Friday, I would teach about a half dozen guys certain things about martial arts. And they kept saying, when are you going to start your own class? So that's how I started teaching down here.
Okay. So let's talk about the self-defense for seniors.
Mm-hmm.
How did that start?
Well, it's for anybody. But see, you have, when you say seniors, you have young seniors.
Yes.
Then you have older seniors.
Correct.
You have people with different types of issues. Some of them are limbs. Some of them are people who have to take blood thinners.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand the audience. In my class, if you come in and you bruise easily, I would tell you to go someplace else.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we have contact. Not, heavy contact, but we do have contact.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone touches your arm and you start bleeding, that's not the class for you.
Yeah, it's not good. Yeah.
See, well, this was, I think it's called Coumadin or something.
Xeralto.
Yeah, but with the breathing, I've had people say that the allergies, what they're allergic to is improved because you're pumping those fluids through your system.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is through the principles. The principles of Tai Chi, if they pull, you push. If they push, you pull. So you're able to guide someone's force.
Mm-hmm.
Their power, your direction. And when you understand that to a finite degree, you're able to deal with somebody younger, somebody faster. As you age, things happen. You just wake up sometimes. Where'd that come from?
Yeah, right.
So how do you continue your martial art until you drop dead?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people quit because they can't do what they did when they were 20 and 30 years old.
We have a lot.
You shouldn't have to.
Right. We have a lot of people who have a hard time standing up.
Yeah. Tai Chi, as a matter of fact, I've had doctors recommend to their patients to come take my Tai Chi class because there's a lot of weight shifting in Tai Chi.
Mm-hmm.
And you get used to shifting your weight. We actually do it when we walk,
but we're
not conscious of it.
Right. Subconscious.
So in Tai Chi, we break it all down. And then you're able to feel and be conscious of controlling the different shifts that your body has to make during different movements,
mm-hmm.
particularly bending over and standing up or lowering your body and raising up.
Can you give our listeners one self-defense tip for someone that's, say, 65 years of age?
Walk away if you can.
Walk away.
That's the best defense.
That's good.
If you can get out of it, walk away. If you can't get out of it, then you need to get 100% into it. So if a person is attacking you and you're just trying to defend, I hope you're a good defender.
That's a losing
position. But no matter what they're doing, if you become the attacker yourself, when you're attacked, I have a saying, when you're attacked, you become the attacker. Now you have to deal at least with what I'm going to do. So if you're grabbing me and I stick my finger towards your eyes, do you still want to grab me or do you want to be blind? I mean, I hate to put it cruel, but seniors are considered easy prey.
Right.
So you, somebody else out there might be talking about fighting. No, we're talking about surviving.
Right.
Right. So they're involved, but we have to be committed.
So you also mentioned earlier, and I did want to get this into the show, what should you do if you're approached by someone and you're in your vehicle?
Well, the normal thing, like I used to live in New York.
Yeah.
And then when I would, and when I moved to Jersey, now I'm driving in on the car, I'd see people by the Port Authority. These guys reach into the cars and take pocketbooks and things like that, and people trying to push them away. But you have to understand that the car is your environment. You have the steering wheel, you have the frame of the car. So if you reach in to my car, I'm probably going to pull you in. So now the car is blocking your lower body, and you're inside the window. So I have the window frame as something to slam up against, slam you up against. I have the steering wheel. And quite often I used to give out 4-inch hat pins that you can stick in the visor or in the car seat, pull it up, boop, boop, boop. Stop being an acupuncturist. And then you have your elbows and stuff. So they're trapped.
Okay.
See, they don't realize it. But if you try to push them out, you're going against your own environment. See? So that's one of the approaches. And when you understand the principle and the concept behind it, a whole new world opens up.
Yeah, if you stick them with a hat pin, they're going to pull themselves out of the car.
Yeah, they want to get it. They're going to want to get it. I got stung by an electric catfish when I was younger, because I didn't believe.
I didn't know there was an electric catfish.
Oh, yeah.
Electric eel.
There's electric catfish, too.
Oh.
And I grabbed this thing. It was on the bottom tank of a cast iron stand with a larger tank up above. It shocked me. I yelled. I raised my hand out from the tank and it hit the bottom of the cast iron stand.
Oh.
So not only was I shocked, my hand was swollen. And all I could do was laugh because the catfish did what it was supposed to do. And I started thinking from then, and this is before I took formal martial law, I said, wouldn't it be cool if I did something to make somebody want to let me go? So that was part of my approach.
Okay, becoming an electric catfish.
Oh, yeah.
But here's a question for you. What was your hand doing in the electric catfish tank?
Because I was stupid and decided, let me see if this thing can really shock anybody. It felt like I stuck my finger in a socket.
Oh, yeah.
That's the feeling that it had. So for anybody who still has doubts, don't do it.
Don't do what I did. Yeah, I have a scar on one of my fingers from when I touched an electronic component on a circuit board to see if it was hot. It was more than hot. It was AC powerful. Bob, if someone wants to get a hold of you and ask you a question about Tai Chi before coming to your class, how should they do that?
First, let me just say, all you need to do is show up, comfortable clothing, and we wear shoes at the Tai Chi class. So they get in touch with me by, my phone number is 201-988-2374. That's 201-988-2374. And my email is U as in uniform, F as in Frank, M as in Mary, A as in Apple, B-O-B, UFMABob at Comcast.net. The website, which needs a little updating, but you get a good description and a good understanding of my approach to martial arts, is www.unifiedforce.net.
Unifiedforce.net.
Not united, unifiedforce.net.
Okay. Bob, I noticed that you're wearing long pants today. Is that what you suggest people wear to the Tai Chi classes, long pants? It doesn't matter.
I tend to wear long pants. It's kind of like a traditional thing, but they can wear shorts, T-shirts, whatever makes you feel comfortable.
Great. Bob, I want to thank you for being on the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I had a good time.
Great.
Remember, our next episode will be released next Friday at 9 a.m. Should you want to become a major supporter of the show or have questions, please contact us at mike@rothvoice.com. If you know someone who should be on the show, contact us at mike@rothvoice.com. We thank everyone for listening to the show. The content of the show is copyrighted by Roth Voice 2023, all rights reserved.